We're going to think briefly this morning, excuse me, about what the Bible has to say about mothers and about motherhood and what we can learn from it. The Bible teaches us a lot about the importance of motherhood. Motherhood appears all the way through the Bible. In fact, in the Old Testament, it was thought to be a dreadful thing if a woman was married and didn't have any children at all. They thought this was awful, and they thought God must be punishing her for something, because it was thought in the Old Testament that the best thing you could have was a lot of children. Now, people don't always think that today. Some people do, but whatever people think, mothers are wonderful and mothers are important. Now, when I say some of the things I'm going to say, all the mothers will be sitting there thinking, yes, that's right. They understand about a lot of these things. But most of the rest of us, children and the men, can't really fully understand what mothers think and what mothers feel. Because mothers have a very special feeling towards their children. You know, think about the reasons why they have that special feeling towards their children. The mothers have carried around that child or those children, each one, for a period of 9 months inside their own bodies. Each one of you spent 9 months inside your mother. And sometimes your mother would have thought, why am I going through this? Because mothers, certainly in the early stages of their pregnancies, experience something called morning sickness. That's morning as in not afternoon, not morning as in you're feeling sad about something. It's because they feel sick in the mornings. And it was caused by you. So one of the earliest memories that your mother has of you is feeling very unwell. But that doesn't mean they didn't want you and wanted to get rid of you. It means that they must have thought something extra special about you and thought you were wonderful, because they were prepared to go through all that in order to bring you into the world. They remember the day you were born. They remember the pain of bringing you into the world. Hard work having a baby. That's why the actual birth is called labour. Very hard. They went through that for you because they wanted you and they were delighted. The moment you came out and you were born, all thoughts of that sickness that they'd had those months before, all thoughts they had of the agony they'd just been through, disappeared and thought, look at this beautiful little boy. Or this beautiful little girl. And then, having been born, immediately the mother takes the child and holds it and looks upon it and thinks, this is mine. Now, fathers do that as well, but it's not quite the same as mothers, because of all that the mothers have been through in bringing the child into the world. But it doesn't end there, because the mother, generally speaking, has the main task of looking after the child, in nurturing it, in feeding it, in making sure that its clothes are right, making sure it's washed its hands, making sure that everything is going right. Fathers are involved in this as well, but mothers tend to be more so, because of the very close bond that begins right from the moment of birth. This goes on right the way through life. It doesn't stop when you get into your teenage years. It doesn't stop when you leave home. It doesn't stop when you get married. It doesn't stop when you have children. Your mothers still have this very special feeling towards you. And hopefully, when your mothers are very, very old, they will still think that you're wonderful and lovely. Although whether they think that depends a great deal upon you and what you do and how you behave And when you get older, you will look back and you will think there are some things that you've done. You realise that you really hurt your mother, probably your dad as well, but probably more so your mother. I think back to certain times. One of my hobbies, I suppose I should say used to be, train spotting. Many of you think, what on earth do you want to go train spotting for? But I used to love trains. I still love trains. And I love them so much, I would go all over the country to look at trains. And I remember when I was young, I was trying to work out yesterday exactly how old I was. I can't remember exactly. I was probably about 10 or 11, which is about how old some of you are. And I and some friends thought, well, we don't see many trains coming through our station, but we don't live that far away from London. Let's go up to London for the day. And we had about sixpence in our pockets. That's 2.5 pence in modern money. We went off to London and we went and saw lots of trains and we had a lovely time. But, oh dear, look at the time. It's 6 o'clock already and we're supposed to be at home for tea. This is when we were in the middle of London. And so we eventually got back to the right station, jumped on the train and we got home. And who was there waiting for us but our mothers and our fathers? And our mothers were in tears because they thought, where have you been? What's happened to you? They thought the worst. They were ever so upset because of this special feeling they have towards us. Now you probably think the only time you remember how much your mum and dad cares about you is when they shout at you and tell you off and tell you to do things you don't want to do. It's only when you get older, and I hope you remember what I'm telling you, when you get older you will appreciate everything that your mum did for you. Not just that she told you off, not just that she told you to eat all that food on your plate that really you don't like very much. Not just that she told you to do some of the things that you really didn't want to do, like having a bath, combing your hair, things like that. But you realise that all the other things that she did, everything that she did because she loved you. Interesting. Also, you can look at people and you can see just how much the way in which people live is influenced by their mothers. So it's not just a question of how we respond to our mothers, it's what our mothers do for us. Because they are very influential in how we turn out when we grow up as people. And you think, well, has this got anything to do with the Bible? You haven't referred to the Bible yet. Well, this passage that was read to us by Sonia and Isaac earlier. You probably thought, well, surely this is something that's more supposed to be read at Christmas time. But it tells us something about an aspect of motherhood. That Joseph and Mary took Jesus up when he was 8 days old to the temple to have him circumcised and to go through the procedure of purification that the Jews had to go through in those days. And they met a man called Simeon, and God had made a special promise to Simeon. This promise was that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, whom God had promised. So when he saw Jesus, he picked Jesus up, took him in his arms and blessed God, said these words that are familiar to many of us, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, etc. And then he spoke to Joseph and to Mary. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, and she was telling Mary something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now here we learn something about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now some people overemphasize the place of Mary, and partly because of that, other people underemphasize the role of Mary and hardly talk about her at all. But the Bible does talk about her, and so should we. And we learn here from what Simeon said, something of what Mary knew about what was going to happen to Jesus. She'd been told by the angel Gabriel had come and told her she was going to have a son. Told her that this son was going to be the Son of God. Told that this son that she was going to bear would save his people from their sins. So she had great joy in the birth of this child. But also she was very bewildered by some of the statements that were made. Supposing someone came along to you and said to you that you were going to have a child, it was going to be a boy or a girl, and that this boy or girl was going to do this when they grew up. And you'd say, how do you know? If you look around, those of you that are parents, at your children, and you think to yourself, yes, but they're 9, 10, 11, or whatever they are now, I haven't the faintest idea what they're going to do when they grow up. Well, they might end up being dustmen. Or they might end up being company directors. Or they might end up doing anything. We don't know. They might have interests in particular directions, but we don't know. Mary was told, definitely, by God, exactly what Jesus was going to do. But even so, Mary was still somewhat bewildered. She didn't understand what Jesus was going to do in great detail. So therefore, as he lived as a grown man, as he went round preaching and teaching and healing people, Mary was delighted and very pleased at the effect that her son was having. Oh, that we could be delighted and rejoice in what our children always do. We do sometimes, but not always. She could rejoice in this, but also she was sad because the people in authority didn't like Jesus, because he was telling them that they weren't right with God. He was telling them things they didn't want to hear. So he was being rejected, and that upset her. And it upset her even more when they took him and they nailed him to a cross and crucified him. The most agonizing way of putting people to death. It was a horrible method of execution. That's what they did to Jesus. How do you think Mary felt when they did that to Jesus Christ? Simeon said, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Mary would have been devastated, not merely in the way that everybody else was devastated, all the disciples, and they were ever so upset that the Lord Jesus was put to death. Mary would have felt that and more. This was her son. This was the child that she'd carried for 9 months. This is the one that she'd fed. This is the one that she'd looked after. This is the one that she'd brought up. And now it had come to this. She must have been absolutely devastated. I hope that you never do anything that causes your mother to feel anything like what Mary must have felt on the day of the crucifixion. With the Lord Jesus, something very special happened. Who can tell me what happened after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified? I'm not sure. Is that arm up or not? It's not. Emma. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. Now that's something that we can't do. So if we go and do something silly and kill ourselves, then there's no hope after that. We'll be dead. The Lord Jesus Christ was put to death. He was killed. But 3 days later he rose again. How would you feel if your son died? You'd feel devastated. But then 3 days later he was alive again. What's the phrase? You'd be over the moon. You'd be delighted. Especially if you then understood why he'd come into the world. This is what Mary learned. Jesus having died, she was devastated, but she rejoiced when he rose from the dead, and then she understood the reasons why he had come into the world, and why he died, and why he rose from the dead. What we're reading about here, what we read about all through the Bible, and we're talking especially about Mary and her son this morning, is that these are real people. They actually had emotions like we do. So when I say Mary was upset, that she was devastated, she was. We tend to have this picture of Mary and Jesus and the others that we get from stained glass windows, or that we get from paintings. And we think that they always were white people. We think that they always were nice and clean, scrubbed, wearing nice, clean clothes. And they always had these halos either over their heads or around their heads. But they weren't like that at all. Their clothes were dirty. They had to wash them from time to time. They often had holes in them because they wore out. Sometimes they had dirt under their nails. Sometimes they had to go and wash. These were real people. Come on Wednesday, you'll see the video. And you get a bit of this. You see, they're real people. Obviously, they're only actors in the film. But they're portraying real people. And these are real events that we read about in the Bible. Mary actually did have a conversation with an angel. This man Simeon actually did bless Jesus and his parents. These are real things. And so the other things that we read about in the Bible, they really happened. Simeon says here that Jesus would be destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world in order, ultimately, to reveal the thoughts of your hearts. On that day when we must stand before God and give an account of ourselves. And everything that you've ever said, everything that you've ever done, and everything that you've ever thought will be revealed before God. And we will be judged accordingly. And we will all be found to be guilty. We'll all be found to have done things that are wrong. Now perhaps you mums among you are like my mum, and you say to my mum, did I ever do anything wrong when I was young? And she'll say, oh no, you're a little angel. You never did anything wrong. And then if you ask her about specific things, she'll say, well, yes, there was that thing. Oh, when there was that. And if you press her, you get this enormously long catalogue of things that I did wrong when I was young. Try and gloss over the things that our children have done. And yet they do them. God doesn't forget. We must all give an account to God. We'll all be found guilty. We'll all be found to have done wrong. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He came not just to live and die and give us an example to follow. When he died, he was actually being punished for all the things that I've ever done wrong. He was also punished for all the things that you've ever done wrong. He was punished for all the things that anybody has ever done wrong. He came to die to take away our sins and to take away our guilt. If you feel guilty when you do something wrong, you need to be forgiven. Only God can do that. And God can only do that if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be a good mother to your children, well, you've got to deal with yourself first. You've got to deal with your sins. It's the same for all of us. Get right with God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as God commands. If you want to treat your mother properly, you'll never treat your mother properly as she really should be treated unless first you listen to God. Do what God says and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender to him. Do everything that he says. Mary said on one occasion, they said, well, what should we do? And Mary said, do whatever Jesus tells you. So should we. Do whatever Jesus tells us. And if we're going to do that, the first thing we must do is to believe him, to believe in him, and trust in him. Then he'll take away our sins, remove all guilt from our minds, give us peace and joy, and then we will live the sort of lives that God wants us to live. Not that we'll be good people, not that we'll be perfect people, but we will be accepted by God. And we will have the power to do what is right. So I hope that you will remember these things. You'll remember about your mothers and how to treat them and how they're thinking about you and how much they love you. Think also about how the best way in which you can help your mother, do her good. In all these things, it begins by listening to God, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, doing what he says.